Hello and welcome to the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. The notes for the sermons featured here can be found at our website, henriettacf.org. Also, on Android or iOS mobile devices, you can find them on the YouVersion app. Just click on Search for Live Events and enter our zip code 14543. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
All right, so I'm going to run fast through the first little part of this. Why? Because we've been spending 3 weeks already on it, and I don't want to spend like all kinds of time wading through this again. But for those of you that may have missed the rest of it, I just want you to get the run-up to it, okay, which is, you know what? Things are changing around us. I don't know if you noticed it, but, there's a certain amount of crazy going on in the world around us. There's a certain amount of anger and hatred, denunciation, because it's like, what's going on in our country? And so, you know, this series of messages, really, it was supposed to be one. It's got stretched out to 2, 3, now we're to 4. I hope we don't go to 5, because I did write the finale on this one. But what about us? What about us? I mean, how are you supposed to respond to that? And there are some things that need to be kept. In other words, there's things that you'd be tempted to lose in the face of this. Right, and there are things that you actually do need to change. You know, there's things that we were comfy as could be with, and then you start realizing, you know, they really aren't the way God wanted them. You know, like, I'll give you this. The Church of Jesus Christ in North America is way too comfortable with bitterness. Right, we put up with our own bitterness and things like that, and you know why? Because it wasn't tripping us up that bad. Now, all of a sudden, you got the whole world going bitter around you, and suddenly, you find yourself agreeing with things with these folks that you shouldn't be. And you're thinking, where'd that come from? And you start realizing, wait a minute. And you start digging down in and realize, we put a pretty face on our sins. We do. You know, so we could be bitter. Oh, my word, we could be bitter. Eey, I mean, like, if anybody actually did a spiritual x-ray and saw what was going on, we'd be, oh, my word, so deeply bitter. And we go, no, I'm not bitter. I'm just hurt. You know, put pretty, you know, makeup is a great thing, you know. I had a friend that was deathly ill, and I told her, hey, you look good today. You got nice color. And she goes, yeah, it's amazing what makeup will do, you know. And, but it's like, this one guy came into my office, and it was like, oh, he told me that all this evil that he was doing to his family, he was doing it because he had a poor self-image. I said, I think you've got a marvelous self-image. I think it's way past reality, I said, because you think you should be able to do all this stuff and still be accepted by your family. I said, no, you don't have a poor self-image. I said, stop putting a pretty face on your sin. I said, okay, so we got to be careful about this, all right? And so what it is that, you know, so when God starts talking about stuff and you start seeing these lists that God makes, if you see a list that God made about the stuff we're supposed to be dealing with and you don't find yourself anywhere on that list, you might be missing something, okay? All right, because I'm thinking the reason God made that list was because that's the stuff he knew we were dealing with. Amen. I don't know if that got to the back rows, but we'll keep going, all right? So I'm not picking on you in the back rows. It's just like, I know you're farther away. I might have to come down there, you know? So, all right. Come on. Oh, no, Price is Right. Look out. Okay. Yeah. So anyways, Hebrews 2:1, it just says, we must pay closer attention to what we've heard so that we won't drift away from it. You know, I've been harping on some of my friends about getting to church. And here's the reason. Not because I'm trying to fill pews. It's because you need to be under the preaching of God's word. All right, there's times where you think, man, I feel lost, I feel this, you know, I'm struggling with my relationships, everything like that. And we just haven't been, you know, sitting under God's word and having that word preached into our hearts or taught into our hearts or, you know, or just had that opportunity. You know, I was talking with he's here, so I can pick on him. Roger, I was talking with him one time, and I just, you know, and I said, look, I said, even if you weren't saved, just to go somewhere, and he's saved, but I said, even if you weren't, just to go somewhere where somebody started, was speaking the truth to you all the time, you'd be a better person just because you went. I said, you know, I mean, not even considering all the spiritual benefits that God would bring into your life because you know him and love him and are desiring to be pleasing to him, but just somebody who just did that, I would think they'd be a better person, all right? So, but God's wanting to do more than that. He says, look, don't drift away. God, pay more attention. All right, because there's a drift in this world, and it's not from God. All right? I mean, we've gotten to the place where we got stuff going on in entertainment that's like, I mean, 10 years ago would have gotten it, you know, banned from television, and it's like now it's like, you know, family entertainment. You know, there's a drift going on in the world, and it's not from God, all right? And so we don't get caught in that drift and drift away, all right? God says we need to pay attention to some things, all right? Because God wants our hearts in the midst of all this, all right? Because, you know, if you feel like insecure about stuff that's going on around you, look, give your heart to God and understand something. God will keep you in the right place. God will keep you in the right place. That's what you need, all right? And so there's ways we need to change. There's ways we need to remain steadfast, okay? So let's just real quick run down the things that we're supposed to be steadfast about. One is we are supposed to be of faith, okay? What does that mean? All right, well, there's all these scriptures that apply to this, and let me just read a few of them to you, okay? Because I believe that being of faith means I believe God and I live what I believe. All right, it isn't just I believe God. No, I believe God and I live what I believe. All right, so Galatians 3:7, it says this, that be sure that is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. God has promises. God has promises that he's made to his people throughout time. All right, you want those promises to apply to you, you need to be of faith. All right, going on, 1 Timothy 6:11 through 12, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Okay, those are things that God is calling us to. But listen to this, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called. Okay, fight the good fight of faith. You know, if you're not fighting the good fight of faith, you might be losing your faith. All right, because I'll tell you what, there's plenty in this world that's trying to undermine and rob you of that faith. All right, and so I want to encourage you that, you know, that this, it's a fight. You know, there are times where, you know, something's coming down, and I find myself thinking a new thought, and I know it's not from God. And so I go to the Word, and I find the thing that says what's right, and I start speaking that to my own heart. You know, I start declaring that to God. I start speaking to that people around me. You know, it's like I'm going to take hold of this, and I'm not going to allow myself to be overthrown. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, okay, it's talking about all the people that have been faithful in generations gone by. Listen to this. It says, let us also, see, those are the words in English we just sort of blow away. We don't pay no attention to that. This is like connecting words, right? No, let us also, also, that means somebody else is doing, who are we talking? We need to grab a hold of the stuff that those people grabbed a hold of. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance, okay? In other words, the junk that gets, you all know about it. There's things that's getting in the way of you doing the things you know God wants you to do. Those are encumbrances, all right? They may not be sinful in and of themselves, all right? But you know they're getting in the way. You know, it may be thoughts, it may be things, it may be schedules. I don't know what it is, but, you know, there's things that are getting, it says lay them aside. And, you know, Greg, thank you. Sorry, just getting the message and I lost it altogether. So I was talking to Kurt earlier. But anyways, but Greg and I, we talk about this a lot. But, you know, if the Bible says do something, all right, God is a good God. And let me tell you, so he never told you to do anything, then didn't give you the authority to do it. Anybody been at a job where you're told to do something, they didn't found out you didn't have the authority to do the thing that you're actually being asked to do? In fact, required to do. In fact, you're being evaluated every time for a raise based on doing something you didn't have the authority to actually do. All right? That sometimes happens in business. Does not happen in God's kingdom. God says, do it. You got the authority to do it. All right? Okay? And so it says, lay aside. I can lay aside encumbrances and the sin which so easily entangles me. All right? Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Listen to this. The author and perfecter of faith. If you're of faith, Jesus is the author. He's the one who started it, and he's also the perfecter, the one who brings it to completion in your life and brings its results into your life. You're talking about this, right? Okay, it's not the thing. It's the him. It's the person that God is calling us into relationship with him, and that in that relationship, these things flow into our lives. 2 Corinthians 3:5, okay? Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Check yourself. I mean, there's times where, you know, what's the first thing? As soon as somebody starts implying or maybe flat out telling you you're doing something wrong, what's the first thing that you feel like doing? Justify. There we go. There's a good word for it. Some other things. What else? I mean, what is it? What is it? What's our natural tendency when you know, some person or even the Word of God, crying out loud. So there's times you want to, don't you know, just want to fix them words, you know? I mean, what is, you know, justify? What are some of the things? Let's just give me some words. Defend. Yeah. Okay. What else? Anything else? Excuse, and I heard another one. Deny, yeah. Okay, so like that's our natural tendency. Yeah, point things out. Yeah, sure. Yeah, you're saying it's me. Why? It's you. You know, it's like, I mean, we're so full of this, okay, and what does the Word of God tell us to do? It says, look, check yourself. You know? I mean, you know, it's that thing where when something keeps coming up, you know, sometimes it might be God's mercy just trying to show you something. But if the defenses go up, instead of a willingness to open up and say, you know what, let me take another look at this, you know, let me... Because basically what it's going to tell us to do in this context, if you want to go and look at the context a little later, it basically says that, you know, you ought to take your faith out for a walk. You know, you ought to, you know, get it out into action and understand something. You will not fail the test, right? But you need to take that which you believe out into your daily life and exercise it, right? Because that's where you start to see two things. One, the proof in your own life, you know, that you're standing in the Lord, that you are a person who's of faith. But then the other part of it is, too, is that's where your effectiveness comes from in reaching others, is that other people have the opportunity to see your faith at work in your life and perhaps in ways that benefit them. And, you know, it's powerful. I was sitting on the plane coming back from seeing my mom down in Florida, and we were flying from Tampa to up to, let's see, Charlotte. I think it was called Charlotte. Yeah, it was Charlotte. You know, and anyways, and yeah, right to the port of Rochester we flew. No, we... No, to Charlotte, and anyways, and the guy next to me on the plane, I don't know, opening line was, he looked and saw the wedding ring, he says, how long have you been married? I said, 42 years. And he says, wow, you don't hear that very much anymore. And anyways, we went on from there. Eventually, I got my photo album out, showing him my family and everything like that, and basically I said, now, let me help you to understand something, that, you know, I mean, all that you say we don't hear much about, I said, that's what God uses to produce this. You know, is this, you know, you know that you see this kind of blessing that comes and everything. And I got to share my faith with him and all that kind of stuff. But see, all I'm trying to say to you here is that it was as he saw me engaging my faith in the life that I was living and seeing what God was, he could see what God was doing in my life. You know, he's looking, he's going, wow, like this. And so one of the few times somebody actually said, I'd like to stay in touch. All right, so we're staying in touch. He's planning sometime coming up to Rochester. We're going to, you know, show him around a little bit. He and his wife, and they have a child. So, but you know, it's that take it out for a walk. You know, a little test drive here. You know, just find out if you know try it. You like it. You know. But anyways, okay, we're his workmanship. We're his witnesses. Okay, we all have a gift to use. We all know this. Okay, I preach this too much. We know you have a gift. If you haven't figured out what your gift is yet, I just encourage you get out there and try. And if you know, eventually you'll start to see something. Is that you start to see that there's ways that God uses you. All right. It can be simple. It's usually not terribly complicated. You know, for me, it's flapping my jaws. You know, I mean, I just got to learn how to control the gift so that I don't, you know, do any harm to anybody. But I mean, but you know, it's like before I was saved. I'm going to tell you what. I mean, to talk to like five people at once, I've been terrified. But I mean, one-on-one, I was always a person who was good at conversation. All right, and God just, you know, this gift was just laying there, you know, and just being used for whatever. And when I got saved, he started to empower it, and just one-on-ones, two-on-two, three, you know, it just started growing. You know, God started just using that ability to put things together in words. And, you know, and so to understand, you have a gift. All right, and maybe something completely, like getting in front of a crowd and talking, that was like from God, you know. I mean, I used to shred my notes to talk to even a small class in school. I'd be like this, you know, but we all have a gift. Let's get out there and use it. Things that we need to change, okay, and this is where we kind of settled last week, was this whole thing about that over in Ephesians 4:30-32, it says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. We talked about how God has marked us for preservation by giving us the Holy Spirit. All right, but then it says this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. All right, we went through the list a little bit. Wrath, you know, hot anger. Then this other anger word means agitation of soul. All right, and I mean, and if you got an agitated soul, you know, and I would say that there's a lot of that going around, all right, understand something. Let it go, and then put it away. There's two steps to that. I don't know if you noticed it. Let it go, let it be put away, and then it tells you to put it away. Let it go, put it away. You have authority to do both. First of all, you got to let go of it. You know, it's very hard to put something away that you're holding on to. Okay, if you've ever had sticky hands, you know, and you're trying to put something away that you're still stuck to, you know, it's like, you know, sometimes we can get that way. But so it goes on to say, you know, clamor. That's outcry. You know, and I started realizing I got a little of this clamor thing going on in me. You know, I started realizing, you know, that tendency to, you know, want to air your complaint. You know, I got to be careful of it. All right? And I started realizing you can make a complaint, but make a complaint to God. You know, God is desiring to hear your complaint. All right, good place to take your complaints, because if your complaints are completely gone, you know, it's like, you know, he'll let you know. All right, but again, let it go, but then put it away. Slander, these reproachful, injurious words. And like I say, I'm sorry, this lately, I've just seen like this craziness out there where just like, you know, somebody says something that somebody disagrees with even a little bit, and man, they're on there just flailing you with their words, you know, and I'm guessing that that's going out at other levels of culture as well. But then malice, you know, this ill will towards others, you know. So let all that put away. But then it goes on to say that the second thing is look, the reason we want to clear the place, my parents always made us get rid of our old toys to make room for Christmas. All right, you know, you had to, you know, if you, you know, you got to get that stuff out because it's crowding out the things that God wants to put in your life. All right, and listen to the second list is really, it's be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. You know, and that kind, you know, you got to get past just thinking kind thoughts, right? Because this word for kind is an active word. It means to be useful. Okay, I'm going to need my reading glasses here again because this is a small print. All right, useful, virtuous, good, mild, benevolent, pleasant, okay, as opposed to harsh, sharp, and bitter, okay? Tender-hearted. And I told you this means to have strong intestines, you know, good, strong intestines, you know. It just basically means to be compassionate, to love others easily. That, you know, that thing where, you know, you come across somebody and, you know, and they're in a difficult spot and is it easy for you to love them, or is it really a labor? You know, it should be, you know, we have the authority to become tender-hearted, you know, to where that's not a hard decision for us to love people. And then this last thing about forgiving, you know, and it's not just saying the words, you know. I mean, it's taking the actions. It's engaging, you know, something inside of us that looks to do something for other people. I remember when I was working in the steel mill, this one guy named Carl, no, not you, he worked with me, and he was just brutal. He just mocked me out to the, you know, any little mistake I made, and just nasty guy and everything. And anyways, the guys in the plant came to me and said, look, you know, next time he does that, just deck him. We'll say he swung first. You know, we've been talking, you know, you don't have to put up with that. And, you know, and I'm like, no, it's all right. You know, I was playing super spiritual, like it didn't bother me and stuff. And I went home and I said, God, I feel like killing a man. I said, please help me. And anyways, and I told you that whole story, but, you know, how I went back, you know, and, you know, I understood I had to love those who were persecuting me. And so I felt pretty good. I'd had a really good day, you know, because the guy came and he did all his stuff and everything like that. And I told him, look, you know, I refuse to hate you. You know, I says, you know, I refuse to let, you know, the things you're saying and doing, you know, change, you know, my attitude towards you at all. You know, I says, I'm not going to. And I walked away. I felt pretty good, you know. You ever get that thing about halfway to where God wants you and you think pretty good? Yeah, it's like the peewee soccer, you know, they kick the ball and they watch it go, you know. Forget to chase after the ball and get it into the goal. And it's like, you know, and here I am, you know, the peewee soccer version of Christianity, all right, and God convicts my heart. He says, what was the rest of that verse? To do good to them. Oh, Dan. Oh, no, man. I'd say, this is not fair. Wait a minute. I got to go to work and I got to do something nice for Carl. I mean, it wasn't enough just to kind of let him go and everything like that and not deck him. And, you know, it's like, that's pretty good, right? You know, and anyways, but God was just telling me, look, you know, the job's not done until you break this thing and go do something. And so the next day, I just waited until I knew it was coffee break time, got out of heaven, went and bought him a cup of coffee and just dropped it by on the way. Nope, not looking for a big thank you or any applause, just dropped a coffee to him. And he just stopped. You know, all the junk that he was doing, it doesn't always work this way, but he just stopped. You know, but this whole thing with forgiving, you know, it goes beyond just, I forgive. No. I mean, it's actually, you know, changing the relationship that you have with the person that you forgive and becoming the leader in that thing. So where I've been trying to get for a couple of weeks is this whole thing about beware of the little hard-to-notice changes in you, okay? What direction are they taking us? Those small steps, that new word that we've been using, the new thought that doesn't quite sit right inside of us, okay? You know, where do we stand? And, you know, I put this little thing in next to it. It says, at least a little bit to the good side of center. You know, I mean, if this is me, as bad as I can be without feeling like I'm backsliding, all right? And this is me, like, when I think I should be getting an award from God, all right? And if somewhere in between here is the middle where I'm going to be living and reaching over in this direction, trying not to get hauled off that direction, I want to be just a little bit to the good side of center, all right? It's a little thing that I teach when I'm teaching leadership, parenting and various sorts. But you want to be just a little bit on the good side of that, all right? Reason is because, you know, if you don't want to fall that way, you lean this way. Okay? And so, you know, that's my sore hip, by the way, right now. But anyways, isn't that funny? You know, God has a sense of humor about these things. So anyways, but, you know, sometimes it's not comfortable, is it? Sometimes it's not comfortable to lean the good side of center. You know, but wait, aren't I free to be over here? Yeah, you are. But you're, of course, you're much more likely to fall over into that. All right? But if I'm a little bit to the good side of center, on average, I'm praying. On average, I'm worshiping. On average, I'm in God's word. On average, I'm treating people pretty good. On average, I'm going to be quick to forgive. On average, I'm not quite over here in the you know Academy Awards of Christianity place over here yet, okay? But I'm just this little bit to the right side of center. All right? The people begin to have this expectation that you're going to be a little bit better than average as a Christian. That you're going to start to have the same expectation of yourself. Okay? That this just this little bit the other side of center, you know, and just over here, being this person here. You know, because in leadership, sometimes just to get people's all attention, all you had to do is move to the center. You didn't have to become punitive. You know, you didn't have to become aggressive, you know. All I had to do is stop being so beneficent and just step a little bit this way to get their attention. That's all. All right? And so what are we becoming? And how do we make the changes and maintain the sets? You know, Timothy was a disciple of the Apostle Paul, and Paul left him in Ephesus. That was a tough place to be left, okay? He's sitting in the middle of pagans and witches, and, you know, they burned their witchcraft books and had a bonfire that lasted a long, long time. I forget how many million dollars worth of witchcraft books they burned. But that was just the Christians, okay? What about all the other people, right? And so here he is, and he's in the midst of all this. And if ever there was somebody sitting somewhere where they had to know that they needed to change a little bit because he'd come out of, you know, being a Jewish guy hanging out in Israel, you know, now he's over here in Ephesus living with all these pagans and stuff. And listen to what he says to him. He tells him, give attention to declaring the truth. Okay, and I'm gonna read the scripture to you in a minute. And understands that we are always declaring. All right, what is the truth that you in your life are declaring? Pay close attention to yourself and to what you're teaching, because we're always teaching. People are always learning from us, especially once they find out you're a Christian. You know, somebody's supposed to be like Jesus and all that, all right? I mean, they watch you, mostly so they can pick you apart. You know, they're not looking and saying, hey, can I learn something from you today? That's the good ones. We love those ones that are trying to learn good stuff from us, but mostly they're just trying to find something wrong so they can just dismiss our whole message. That's what Carl was doing in the steel plant, all right? Except he was trying to do it for the whole steel plant, not just for himself. But let me read this to you. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture. To exhortation, in other words, telling people what to do with this word, and to teaching. Don't neglect the spiritual gift within you, which is bestowed on you through the prophetic utterance and the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you'll ensure salvation both for yourselves and for those who hear you. Okay? So take pains, be absorbed, to care for, to attend carefully, to revolve something in your mind. I don't know about you, but I actually struggle with that whole thing of revolving things in my mind, not because I'm having a hard time doing it, but because it is constantly going on, and oftentimes it's not the stuff that I really want to be revolving in my mind. You know, there was a song, it's not evil, it's just silly, and anyways, and I heard it, and you know, try to get that out of your mind, get something fruitful up there, right, you know? But this whole idea that you know, these things, in the midst of all this change, all right, if I want to keep my sets, if I want to know where the changes are to be made, all right, there are things from God's word that I need to be revolving in my mind, you know? And this thing about the truth and getting the word in, all right, and exhortation, what exactly, you know, what am I being exhorted to do? What is it that perhaps I need to kind of encourage myself to be doing, all right? And it says, take pains with it. Be absorbed in it. All right. Positive distraction. Okay. So, and this other, why do we want our progress and benefit to be evident? You know, it's because, you know, frankly, those are the doors of witness. Those are the opportunities to share your faith with somebody else. When they see you're living all this, you're living in a very postmodern generation. Okay, the young people coming up, they may not even be able to identify what it is, but this belief that there really is no absolute truth. There is no big truth to be found. Therefore, basically, what are we left with? Well, we can come up with our own little small t truth where that's what we think is right. You know, but how do I know if it's right? And quite frankly, one of the things that postmoderns are very impressed with are things that work for you. You know, I mean, if you're seeing something in your life that I'm not seeing in my life as a postmodern, I'm interested in what that is. All right? The idea that you have discovered the truth may not be that exciting to me. All right? Because I don't believe there is a truth. If I'm absorbed in this belief system, which is very, very predominant, you know, you'll hear it a lot. All right? But that people can see the progress in your life. As an atheist, I wasn't a postmodern, just a regular old atheist. You know, that girl in school, that it was obvious that her life was pulling together in ways that mine wasn't. And that was very, very interesting to me and really opened me up to listen to the rest of what you had to say. And you're persevering not just for yourself, but you have to remember, you've got an audience. All right? What's going on in your life? You got young people watching you. You've got, you know, family members watching you. You've got neighbors watching you. All right? And that persevering. Sometimes that thing where you feel like just giving up, you feel like just losing it, but you know, you realize, you know, this is not just for me. You know, life is not, the first time little Sarah popped into the nursery over there at Thompson Hospital over in Canandaigua, and I took one look at this pink little thing laying in a little bassinet thing there, and I remember the thought that came to my mind, life will never be about me again, you know. But to understand that there are people all around you, there are people all around you, right, that are the audience to the life that you're living. And our opportunity, you know, to be that witness, you know, as individuals and corporately together, you know, arises, you know, from this. So keep the sets. Be aware of what they are, right? And, you know, the changes that you need to make are, for the most part, ones that God outlined thousands of years ago in the Scripture, and they're the same today.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast brought to you every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. If you have a prayer request or a need, we want you to know that we're here for you. Please send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for listening, and God bless.